Hi, friends. Before we begin today's program, a quick note on this year's Summer Challenge. As you probably know, summer is usually the time of year with the lowest average giving for any ministry. And unfortunately, that's really true of Compassion Radio, too. Yet our operating expenses remain consistent throughout the year. Now, even as we rightly celebrate 75 years of amazing ministry and partnership with you, we're facing a budget deficit that we simply can't ignore. So I'll ask you today, can I count on you to help make sure that Compassion Radio continues this year and in the years to come? We really need you to stand with us, and we need you to do it this month, this week, and even, yes, today. Thanks so much for all you've done in the past to help us reach out to the world through our great partnership projects, and for letting us bring you the inspiring news of these projects each and every day. Bless you, friends. And in advance, thank you so much for how you're going to stand with us this summer.
Today on Compassion Radio.
That offering of living sacrifice is something you know it when you see it.
Absolutely.
Especially with those who have the skill that could get away with being prima donnas, could get away with not really worshiping. The people that have skill and submission to the Spirit of God are not nervous in the sense that they're not looking for approval or worried they're going to fail somebody. They are overjoyed they get to offer something to God and to the body.
Right.
And that's when I see that happen in people, whether they're young, old, whatever the skill level. You know that the Spirit's going to be there because you know the Spirit's going to be pleased.
Absolutely.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. At Compassion, we spend time on the front lines of Christianity, where faith and action meet, where people just like you are doing amazing things for the kingdom. You're invited to jump on board. Come with us as we discover the work of God in the most amazing and unlikely places. Now, how many of us have looked up at the worship leader on the stage at church and thought, wow, this guy or this gal gets to sing to the Lord for a living. Wow, what a great life. Well, it is a great life, but there's a lot more that goes along with that. A lot more goes on behind the scenes that many of us just don't realize. Now, today's guest, Andy Krieger, is an old friend of Bram's who's going to share with us what it means to serve the Lord in this way. And he's going to give us some insight on the things that go on in the life of a worship leader. Here's part one of that conversation.
Friends, I have the privilege today to catch up with an old friend, and I love doing that. That's the best part about this job, I think, is sitting down with folks that you know God has used in impressive ways, and they become kind of the template, the model, the mentor for you in your own ministry. And because we came up through the same ranks doing music missions together back in the 80s and 90s, Andy Krieger has a lot of common experience to what Sandy and I have had before we joined this radio ministry. And Andy's sitting with me now across the table. Andy, welcome to Compassion Radio.
Hey, it's great to be here and to catch up with you a little bit.
And we've talked a bit about what God has brought us through over the past 35 years, and it's amazing how many things are parallel.
Yeah.
When you have the kind of experience you have at the time you have it, you take advantage of the opportunities God gives you, you end up doing some amazing things for that generation. And of course, things are a lot different now in the church and in the world than they were back in the 1980s.
Absolutely.
But some things have stayed really very much the same. And, of course, it's more than just the theology. It's about the core values of worship within our culture. Every generation struggles with how to be effective in their worship so they know that they're doing it right, so to speak, that God is pleased with what we offer, and that we experience Him within the worship life that we think Christianity is supposed to offer to us. And we have lots of expectations for what God should and could be doing for us in worship. Now, you and I were trained in a lot of the skills and the disciplines of worship over the years. And I want to ask you a few things about what God brought you through in the past few years and why the word compassion is coming alive for you recently.
I think, like a lot of worship leaders, if you're not in that field, you don't necessarily see the ups and downs that a worship leader can go through.
We go through plenty.
Absolutely. It's like any other position that you might have in any other job. People are people. Yeah. People have emotions. People have pride. Yeah. That's what it comes down to. And for me, as I look back on my recent experience, and by recent experience, I'll say 10 to 15 years, what God has renewed in me is a passion for people. We've all seen the worship environments in churches change. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. People today communicate differently than they did 10 years ago or 20 years ago. We change our methodology. We change our style. But people are the same. People still have needs.
They are, but they're still the product of their environment.
And absolutely.
Now, of course, all of my kids, and yours too, growing up, they're all digital natives.
Yes.
And by that, we mean that they literally see the world in conjunction with or through their electronic devices. We as parents who were raised as digital competents, we learned how to operate a machine in our young adulthood, are a lot different than our parents who had to learn technology one generation of technology at a time over the course of many years. Just jumping from the phone to the fax was a big shift. And a different perspective on how you could be present happened when we went to video conferencing in the last 20 years.
I like the word present that you just said, because one of the challenges that worship leaders have today is to make a connection with people. Today's generation is very unconnected when it comes to relationships mm-hmm. with one another. They communicate on their phone. They communicate on their computer. To sit down, sit across the desk from somebody like you and I are doing right now, is very much a foreign thing to a lot of people today. Worship is a connected kind of experience. And so you have a huge hurdle to get over in a worship environment today because people don't connect like they used to.
One of the key words in the past 15 years for worship leading in our country, or in the West in general, has been the word immersive. Mm-hmm. Now, we do a lot of immersive worship now. We try to surround people with stimuli that hopefully communicate the truth through different kinds of iconography, through different styles of audio sensations and ways to interact with the word and with each other. But community or connect, I don't know, is embedded within that word. I think it's possible to be immersed in something but still not connect to something.
Absolutely. I remember going to a conference probably 10 years ago now. As the conference started, there was one of my favorite worship groups was leading the conference. They opened up, and as they began to perform, for lack of better words, mm-hmm. you know, they had the big production. They had the environmental video that completely surrounded you. It had all of those production elements to it. And to this day, I remember it very, very vividly for that experience.
Right.
But what I really remember is the presence of God that touched me at a point of need that night.
Yeah.
And I really honestly believe that that could have happened without any of those extraneous things.
Do you believe that your experience, your business you did with God that day, happened in spite of the worship around you, or it was helped by what you saw and heard?
For me, it did help.
Okay.
But God doesn't need that to touch me.
He doesn't need it.
No. People like me, I'm a creative person. Yeah. And so I love the arts. I love those things.
Yeah.
And when I saw the video that surrounded me 360 degrees, it helped take me to a place probably more efficiently than had it not been there. But God didn't need that.
Right.
He could have touched me and did in my life what he did that night without it.
Coming up next, more on what goes on behind the scenes in the life of a worship leader.
When everything is right, God says, go. When God says go, his presence goes with you.
My father was a radio broadcaster. He actually started the ministry that we have. He, in essence, passed it down to me, and we've been able to carry it forward. Although we have now changed the focus of the program from essentially devotional now to much more in terms of the global mission of the church, what God is doing around the world, and bringing back those stories.
Hello, friends. This is Bram Floria, president of Compassion Radio. We have the great privilege of celebrating our 75th anniversary. Compassion Radio is the only completely listener-supported radio program on the air this long. We are not funded by a huge church organization or wealthy benefactor. You are our church. If this broadcast has ever challenged you in your faith, inspired you to serve, or encouraged you in any way to do better in your walk with God, please let us know right now by supporting this daily radio ministry and the international mission projects of Compassion Radio with your prayers and with your financial support. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. And new for this year, you can give right through your phone. Just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thank you so much for every prayer and your consistent financial support.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
I love the arts. I love those things. Yeah. And when I saw the video that surrounded me 360 degrees, it helped take me to a place probably more efficiently than had it not been there. But God didn't need that. Right. He could have touched me and did in my life what he did that night without it.
Now, psychologists and audiologists will use the same term, encode, decode. Theologically speaking, we have the same issue. We have to figure out, how do you decode what God has encoded in his word and in the people? In other words, how does a spirit communicate with human beings when God speaks languages far beyond ours? He feels things far deeper than we, and he reveals himself in ways that we have to begin with a metaphor. The kingdom of God is like, and then we start exploring these ideas and letting God speak to us through the things he plants seeds in our hearts and our minds. Is it possible for us to know the heart and mind of God and what is in front of us, to decode it when we first walk in there? Or is it something that's supernatural that has to take place in your mind? As a worship leader, what do you think?
Wow, that's a really good question. I don't know. For me, what it comes down to is an attitude of being willing to let God touch me. I don't want to head into any, whether it's a teaching experience with my pastor on Sunday morning or a worship experience where I'm leading or I'm participating. I want to arrive with a heart that says, God, take me where you want me to go. Mm. When I arrive with an agenda, it's my agenda.
Yes.
And God has to work his way through that. And that can be really painful, really painful, yeah. Because I feel like I know myself better than God does, but he doesn't.
Don't we all?
Doesn't.
Now, you're hitting right at the core message that we preach pretty much every day here on Compassion Radio, which is simply, God is doing something. It's our opportunity, our obligation to chase him and see where his coattails are gathering dust and to grab hold of it when we can, as God allows it to happen, so we can sense the power of his presence where he's doing the work the most. And of course, most of the stories that we bring to people are things that are far away from them. Mm-hmm. But I'm also hoping to communicate a sense of immediacy in that being in the presence of God is something that has real power right where you are.
Absolutely.
We, you and I, have had this experience of many, many decades now of being involved with worship arts, and it is something you discipline yourself in. It's a skill as much as a calling. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy to end up on the intellectual side of things. This is how you do this thing to get this result. And settle for works righteousness because you perform it well. And of course, our experience on the road has simply been when you get out there with the world church in all of its different expressions, all of its different cultures, all of its different societies and languages and economic situations, whether a dung hut in Africa or in high rises in China, there's something about the expectancy of the body of believers there that you wake up to and say, this is it. Mm-hmm. You know, they're sitting around expecting God to show up. Mm-hmm. And when he does, he shows up in power. Not in great works of great production, but in deeply moving truths that disrupt untruths, that conquer lies, that open up hearts and bring real heart change.
You just triggered a memory for me. You and I had been chatting over lunch a little while ago, and I didn't mention this one, but another story from that same kind of time period you and I were talking about, where you and I were both involved in a music ministry together years ago. I had a situation where our bus broke down one afternoon, of course, out in the middle of the desert, you know.
A common challenge you all itinerate.
Yeah, and it was one of those situations where we were so close, within a couple hours of where we needed to be.
Right.
But the bus is sitting there in the middle of the desert, you know. God worked a series of miracles, and I'm talking amazing miracles, to get us to our venue that night.
Yeah.
So this was before the days of cell phones.
Right.
So I eventually found a payphone and got on the phone with the pastor of the church where we were going that night and said, we are going to be there. I don't know how we're going to do this, but we're going to be there. And God's going to do something tonight because, you know, he has planned this in advance. He's got something in store for us. Long story short, we arrived several hours late after the event was supposed to start. He said, you get here when you can. We're going to hang out and we're going to see what God has planned. We got there. The place was still packed with people waiting for us. When we got there, he had literally somebody from his church who was a mechanic there who fixed the bus. They had people come out and helped us unload all of our equipment as we pulled in. We got the equipment set up, and we probably had the best night of ministry that entire tour. Why? Because it was God doing it, not us.
And because the family was expectant.
Yes.
They were there to serve with you. So you were stepping into an opportunity to minister together.
Yes.
They ministered to you, you ministered to them. This wasn't a concert.
No.
You know, we've had the experience of walking down trails and taking long roads and seeming like we're going to be there late ourselves, but when we arrive at these places that are off the grid for most Westerners, you walk in, you see that expectancy. People are still there. In fact, they've been excited and been together all day.
Right.
I've learned over the years that it's not just because they're waiting for us. They're excited about a reason to be together.
Mm-hmm.
They don't forsake the gathering of the body together. In fact, it's a real treat and honor for them to be able to come together and assemble in one place and be the church,
mm-hmm.
when often they're not allowed to or have opportunity to.
Church has taken on an identity that it never used to be, and we've lost that sense of community to a large degree.
To a large degree. And I won't say that this is a woe unto us, all churches going downhill in America. It is not. Because
absolutely.
I've seen that compassion and the passion of believers across this country responding to programs we've had.
Yeah.
And they're living this life in these churches. And many of them have stories, I'm sure of that, of how
sure.
God has entered in the mix and really messed with the minds of the do-gooders that want to do church for people.
Mm-hmm.
And God shows up and disrupts all that.
Right.
And wins people to himself.
Yeah.
He reasserts his primacy within the body. And those are beautiful things when you see them happen. I'd love to hear from the listeners out there to this program. If you have stories about how God interrupted church as usual and really set you on a new path, I'd love to find out about that. Because I want to hear more people like you, Andy, who have that passion for worship to come alive right in our churches here in America and not be afraid of the Holy Spirit intervening where we are afraid to go.
What's amazing with the whole worship experience when the Holy Spirit shows up, currently I'm leading worship in a really small church that several years ago was leaning very heavily to an older generation. As we have begun to change our worship style a little bit, we're getting families with children there. But what is amazing to see is the older generation and the younger generation worshiping together.
Yes.
That might seem like it's not the natural way it would happen. Because of style issues. And
yeah, most of the solutions I've seen are either hybrid services where you do some of what would seem old, some of what would seem new,
mm-hmm.
or bifurcating your services altogether, mm-hmm. and having a youth service and a more traditional service.
Right. What I try to do, whether I'm doing contemporary, traditional, or somewhere in between, is to do it in such a way that it's 100% Spirit-driven and led.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, that style issue is not an issue anymore.
Yeah. Things done excellently and with passion and with truth don't seem to have the kind of resistance.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
If you're going to do a hymn, do it well.
Right.
If you're going to sing what sounds like a pop song to grandpa and grandpa,
yeah.
do it with real passion, real spirit of worship.
Absolutely.
It can be done. Again, it's not something we generate from our own strength. We open ourselves up and saying, God, I don't know how to connect with these people in a way that honors you, but
mm-hmm.
you do.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever comes out of my lips right now, Lord, I pray that you have ordained it and that you will be pleased and that in my weakness, you will make it strong.
Yeah.
You know, and you offer yourself as a living sacrifice, no matter where you find yourself delivering this message, whether it's behind a piano or on a big platform or just down amongst the kids in the front of the church.
Mm-hmm.
That offering of living sacrifice is something you know it when you see it.
Absolutely.
Especially with those who have the skill that could get away with being prima donnas,
mm-hmm.
could get away with not really worshiping.
Mm-hmm.
The people that have skill and submission to the Spirit of God are not nervous in the sense that they're not looking for approval or worried they're going to fail somebody. They are overjoyed they get to offer something to God and to the body.
Right.
And that's when I see that happen in people, whether they're young, old, whatever the skill level, you know that the Spirit's going to be there because you know the Spirit's going to be pleased.
Absolutely.
And I'm happy to work with people like that, too, in my church. And we've gone through a lot of growth in our community because I'm in a part of Texas that's booming.
Uh-huh.
And you are now stepping out of some of the big ministry stuff into this more intimate relationship with a smaller church because mm-hmm. God brought you there.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you about a story you told me earlier today about what worship leadership became for you. It actually turned into an opportunity for shepherding and for evangelism through lifestyle evangelism ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And taking seriously the injunction, James, to care for the widows and orphans. Tell me about the family that really locked it in for you, said, I am still called to ministry. This is what it's all about. I'm so glad I'm here.
This goes back to the middle 80s.
Okay.
I had the privilege of being in Honduras. The ministry team I was working with at that point was partnering with World Vision, and they had sent me and several of us to Honduras to see what they were doing firsthand and how their ministry was impacting lives on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. I'm comfortable here.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go. I did not want to go. But I got on the plane, flew down there, and we spent roughly a week going from village to village. But what impacted me the most, aside from seeing all the great things that World Vision was doing, and they have an amazing ministry, what impacted me was one woman who was housing several of us in her house overnight. And she was so overjoyed by what God had blessed her with through that particular ministry, she wanted to thank us. I don't think she saw the big picture of what was happening around her country or around the world through that other ministry. She saw how it impacted her. Mm. And those of us that were in
her home.
That
is the world.
Yeah. And those of us that were in her home, she wanted to thank.
When they thank, they mean honor.
Honor, yeah. Yes. So she and her daughter, they lived alone. They had a little dung hut, probably about the size of the room you and I are in here, 10 by 20, with a curtain down the middle. You ate on one side, you slept on the other.
Yep.
But they had saved their money to provide a meal for us that night. And she had saved her money, I don't know how long, weeks, maybe even months. And she got us breakfast cereal. That you and I, we get up in the morning and we're upset if the cupboard has no cereal in it for our breakfast. And she saved her money for that for us because she wanted to say thank you. And the milk that we had came from the goat in her backyard. I tell you, I got smacked upside the head that night because all of a sudden I realized it's not about the big production that I can do. It's not about doing that big song that gets people off of their feet. It's not about any of that. It's about changing somebody's life by reaching out to them at their point of need.
And my experience with those kind of situations, Andy, is that when you have sat in the presence of humble servant leadership like that, and you've been ministered to by Jesus, you come back and you're ready to stand up and praise.
Absolutely.
You know, coming back to worship is a privilege.
Yep. I'm all about those big moments. I love that. I'm a geek guy. You know, I'm a music guy and a techno geek guy. I love all that stuff. I will use it every chance I get.
That lesson you learned in Honduras played out in another story you told me about a family that's in your congregation now. And you are in a mixed community economically. Mm-hmm. Kalamazoo has a lot of stratification.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these families are not intact. They're broken families for one reason or the other.
Yep.
You told me about some kids that really moved your heart.
Yeah.
Tell me about them.
Three kids that have been coming to our church recently that God has placed them on my heart. And I don't know why. I'm still in the process of finding out how God wants me best to minister to them. But every Sunday morning, I wait for them. I watch for them in the lobby, and I'm out there to welcome them and find out how their week's gone. A Christian concert came through here in the Grand Rapids area about a month ago called the Winter Jam. And God said, you need to take those kids. Bought them tickets, brought them out that night, and had a blast with them. And they'd never been to anything like that before. And
no, when you mean anything like that before, you're not just talking about a Christian festival.
No, I'm talking any event. Mm-hmm. I mean, they come from a home where they don't have the resources to attend events like that. They didn't have the money to buy a ticket. Mm-hmm. You know, we stood outside to get inside the building for an hour beforehand in the cold, and they're wearing T-shirts, mm-hmm. you know. It came down to, again, those kids had a need.
Before you get to explaining the rest of the story here, Andy, what was their real need at that point? Was there need for a happy, fun experience to feel like they're part of something? What did they need from you?
They needed a friend. Their dad's in jail. I'm not ever going to be their dad, and I don't ever intend to replace their dad. That's not my intent at all. But I can be their friend. That's what Jesus wants me to do. He wants me to say, hey, man, how'd your week go? Tell me about something great that happened this week, and let me celebrate with you. Or maybe it's just the opposite. What, you know, what hurt this week that I can help with?
And learning how to ask the questions that actually get answers.
Right.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, well, you can listen again anytime. Just open up your browser on your computer or smartphone or even your tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. You know, when you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And now second, would you please share this broadcast with a friend or a loved one? This is going to help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And really, that's all of us, you and I. Finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. You can give a one-time gift, a semi-regular gift, or you can become a Compassion Radio Vision Team member. And that means a regular monthly gift for the amount of your choosing. You know, this ministry is 100% listener-supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen, spend a little time with us. Be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.